Hello and welcome to the Westfield Matildas podcast. It's been a little while since we last had a pod, but what a great way to start it in 2021 with new Westfield Matildas head coach in Tony Gustafsson. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you so much for a warm welcoming.
And welcome to the Matildas family. How has that welcome been all across the board?
I am so happy and proud to finally be officially on board with the Matilda family. It's been a long wait since the announcement, and now when I'm finally officially on board and have had the chance to talk to all these phenomenal people, both staff and players, I am even more proud.
When you start a new job, Tony, there's so much to learn really early on. What have you tried to get on top of, and who have you tried to touch base with in the first couple of weeks?
For me, first and foremost as a coach, at least through my values, is that I'm coaching people first and foremost, and then secondly I coach players. So in by saying that, the number one thing for me was to reach out and connect to the people. So the very first week I had 18 individual talks with all the staff. A lot of good questions from their end to get to know me, and a lot of questions from my end to get to know them, more on a personal level, but also with their experience working with the Matildas and who they are, both as a person and their profession, so to speak. Then last week, I had the opportunity and the privilege to talk to all the 21 contracted players. Same thing there, with the aim to get to know them as a person first and foremost. Obviously, we talk about the game as well, and I want to get to know them as a player. And again, they had a lot of really good questions to me because they're obviously curious on the new coach, and I had a lot of questions to them. And I'm so grateful that they were patient to answer all the questions. So these 2 weeks, it's been all about getting to know people. And I've had the privilege to talk to some of the Football Australia representatives as well. And I, like I said to you, I thank for the warm welcoming to this podcast, but I also want to thank for the very, very, very warm welcoming from all the people that I've talked to throughout these 2 weeks.
What have you found as the overwhelming theme in your chats with everyone so far?
There's a lot of things that I've been impressed of. One of the things that comes through in all the talks with both staff and player is how genuinely passionate they are for the Matildas. They really, really want to give it everything. You know, I can see the curiosity of what can I do to take the next step? What can I do to reach my full potential? What can I do to help the team? You can sense that really true passion and how proud they are to wear the crest on the chest. And that have really, really impressed me and made me even more interested on being a part of this team.
And that passion is something that is longstanding with the Matildas team. You know, you talk about the pioneers of this team who started out in 1979 when really nobody was watching, but all they cared about was representing their country and all the way through. And passion is incredibly important. You've spoken about it before. It's a driving factor. And how do you look to kind of challenge that passion to make the most of it?
I'm going to come back to answer that, I promise you, Anne. I'm just going to first say, when it comes to that legacy piece and respecting the past, I'm also looking to connect with the Matilda alumni next week and get the chance to talk to former Matildas, because I want to learn more about the history and what everyone has done to pave the way. I wouldn't be here today and have the privilege to coach the Matildas where they're at if it wasn't for all the ones that paved the way for us. And I really, really mean it when I say I respect the past. So if we can respect the past and embrace the future, that's how we can balance that act and move forward. And that's also one way, I think, to now answer your question, meaning how do we channel that passion? If we can get everyone included that have a connection to the Matilda and get a sense of, you know, not just inspiring a generation, but also unite the nation and get everyone on board in this and channel that passion as a family and feel that, hey, a World Cup on home soil, we're going to create a legacy that no one could ever expect and create a legacy that is bigger than ourselves. And if we can encapsulate that passion and kind of, you know, laser focus it on the right things here, I think not only will we be able to hopefully achieve something that we can only dream of today, but also I think we could actually create a legacy that we can all be so proud of and thankful that we've been a part of.
And legacy is so crucial. I mean, as you said, our game is built on foundations, and it's built on the hard work, and it's built on the sacrifices of the people who have gone by. But in many ways, you know, you've been part of many different football clubs where for that point in time, you're a custodian of the game. How does that work with you, understanding that need to do the best that you can in that moment and leave it better than you found it when you go?
I think it might be connected to how I'm born and raised, and the privilege I've had to experience all these different clubs, both on the men's side, on the women's side, amateur side, semi-professional side, professional side, small little villages that I've worked in, small towns, to big city life and big cities and smaller countries and bigger countries, and all different kinds of cultures and people that I met throughout the years. And I think I've learned that for me, there's different ways. Now, this might get a little bit deep in terms of talking values and stuff, but for me, there's different ways of looking at success, you know, and I get inspired by a lot of much smarter and more experienced people that I am, and read a lot and try to talk to people and get in to pick their brains and learn from them. And by saying that, there's a boat of success that I read a book while working in the US from a basketball coach, a legendary basketball coach by the name John Wooden, who is not with us anymore, unfortunately. He said, success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your very best to become the best you're capable of becoming. So that itself, you know, when you ask me how important is that for you, and we need to lead the game better than we can only affect what's now and do the best here and now. And by doing that, we can then look back and say, you know what, I did everything within my power to do the best I could. And hopefully that would then larken the possibility to get the results, but also create something bigger than the results, in this case, legacy.
And that idea of defining success, I mean, you've been in very successful environments. You've coached, sorry to bring this up again, but you've coached in a UEFA Champions League final. I won't talk about the result, although I've got to say that is one of the best games I had the pleasure of waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch. But you've also been on the other side, and you're talking about quotes. And for me, one of the quotes that I really love is the Rudyard Kipling quote, if you can meet success and failure as if they were the same, you'll be better for it. So how do you then define what you want this team to be in terms of success, and how are you going to go about working with the team to get that definition?
Oh, that's a huge question, Anne. How much time do we have?
It's still got about 30 minutes or so.
Well, first and foremost, I love that quote. Thanks for sharing it for me. And it touched upon my one-liner that I use at times, meaning one day better. Do we want to get one day better or one day older? We can't choose whether we want to get a day older when we wake up, but we can choose what we want to do with that day. And we can wake up, say, I want to get a day better, or we can go to training, say, I want to get a training better, or in this case, I want to get an interview better and learn from this interview and so forth. And I do think that's a way of looking at success as well, making, you know, Rob said it so smart, a sports psychologist, he said it so well in one of the meetings earlier when he said, make improvement your goal, you know? So the goal itself could be improvement, you know, could be getting better. It's success within itself. So you can create a long-term success and feel that you have a passion for getting better. What I want to be clear here about, though, because sometimes I get follow-up questions on this one when they say, well, shouldn't you love yourself for who you are? Shouldn't you just accept and you know, embrace who you are? Yes, for sure. It's like when I'm trying to raise my kids the best way possible, and same thing with my kids as with my players. I love them for who they are, but I can see them for who they can become, so that they get passionate about getting better, not to prove me how good they are, but they self feel the passion of getting better. So if a player want to get better at crosses or sprints or heading or tackles, or they can just feel a feel of success when they step off the field and felt, you know, I learned something today, I got better. And I don't think it's a conflict between that mindset and wanting to win, you know? So it's not development over winning, it's development to win.
And that's the factor. I mean, that's always the essential, I guess, and the perpetual coaching question is, what do you do? Do you work towards development, or do you work towards winning? And often it's almost like, well, you got to choose one or the other. And it's really interesting to hear you speak about that. you can actually have them work in tandem. And so how do you then build structures around you to allow for that development working towards winning, particularly when you're coming into a new environment?
There's different ways of doing that, obviously. And right now I'm in a process where in order to build that structure, I need to get to learn the environment and the culture and the history of the team. I have to learn about the people around the team. And in order to create structure, I need to get to know the staff and their qualities. Because me personally, this is not a one-man show. This is not me. This is not about Tony and Tony's team. This is about Matilda's. I'm a small part of this team and just appreciated to be a small part of it. And if you look at the staff that I met and I've talked to and see their passion to do the best of the team, I know if we build some of the structures are already there. I'm really impressed. Some of the things that they've shown me and present to me and what they've done, some of the things are already world-class. And those structures we should keep. And one of the questions that I have addressed is what do we keep doing? What do we potentially stop doing? And what do we add and start doing to create these structures and create a system where the players can thrive under and feel that they get better? And that's not just on the field. It could also be off the field, whether that's helping to educate them on sleep or individual prehab to make sure they don't get injured, or whether it's nutrition, whether it's treatment, whether it's having an individual meeting with video or a team meeting or all these things that you can always create a structure where if the team feels that we are passionate about getting better and getting better is also connected to winning, then I also think there's a double reason to have passion for getting better, because it feels good to get better. It feels good to improve. I think human beings are built that way, that they love to adapt and get better. That's how we've survived throughout the thousands of years. We love to get better and improve. But also if they see it's a direct link to, it's a larger chance to perform good. And if we perform good, it's a larger chance that we win. I think there's a direct link there between development and winning.
It's something that you've seen across, again, a couple of different programs now, that link between development and winning. When you look at the Matildas team from that aspect, moving from that development, from your experience, what did you look at that team and say, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I really like that about the team, that essence.
You are actually touching upon one of the key reasons why I am here and why I'm so happy to be coaching this team, because I've seen from early on coming into the women's game, I've seen, I don't know if you use that word in English, I apologize my language, my Swinglish sometimes is not the best, but if you call it an X factor about a team, like there's something there that you don't really know what it is, but there's something extra there, you know, and I've always sensed that with this team, you know, seen them played and played against them. I've felt that there is something, you know. And I want to know more about it because it intrigues me and makes me interest about this team. And now when I get to learn more and get to see more and get educated about it and hear about the never say die attitude and this, you know, and what's been behind everything, I'm starting to understand what it is. And if you then add the Brazil game and the World Cup and you add the China game now and the qualifiers, that for me encapsulates a lot of this X factor and this never say die attitude that is very, very special. And that is definitely not something, I know that from 21 years of coaching, that is not something you create in a day. That is not just something a coach can bring to a team and all of a sudden they have it in 3 months or half a month or 6 months or a year. That is built through years of having the right people with the right mindset that brings that culture and that environment to the team. And that's credit to everyone that's been included in the team before the present team, everyone that is included now, and I know also will be included moving forward. And I think people are gonna see that I am very passionate as a coach and that we share some similarities in terms of that passion. And that's why I also think that like I said, it's one of the number one reason why I wanted to coach this team, because I feel that we share some of the very same values here.
I'm so ready to see that passion on the sideline, let me tell you. I'll get the cameras ready, the videos ready.
No, don't.
Let's talk a bit about coaching. I think one of the attitudes that we both share about one of our favorite things about football is the giant chess match it can be. You know, two teams. And I've got to say, one of my favorite games of women's football is the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup in 2019. Absolutely stacked Parc de France, USA versus France, two of the best women's football nations in the past decade. And it was a game where, I'm going to get a little bit nerdy at the moment, but it was a game where going in, I had this idea of, and forgive me, if USA and France go head to head, France will probably win. But what I saw in that game was the USA adapting to the opponent in front of them. And with a team that often is the front runner, often has that pressure and often has control of the game, that was incredibly impressive. And I enjoyed seeing a team play a chess match with another team that probably, they looked like they weren't prepared for that. Is that what you love about the game, the tactics and how it's changed over the years and the evolution of women's football, where we have that kind of, I don't know, that atmosphere and that adaptability within the game now?
So interesting you mentioned this game, because this is a very, very big game for me as well in my coaching career in terms of that. And I share your passion. I call it the passion of green field of chess. I'm a math and PE teacher by degree, and I like the mathematics behind things as well. But I just want to say, first and foremost, I'm passionate about people. That's my number one passion, has always been. My second passion is the tactics. So people and leadership is my number one, and the second one is tactics. And when it comes to tactics and that game specifically, I call it game management. You know, how do you manage games with the ebb and flows of the games? And I also have to take the opportunity to give the US players credit here, because it's not easy at times to adjust to circumstances like that. You have to put a lot of work behind the scenes in order to get educated to understand those game management pieces. Mm-hmm. And you have to be humble enough to realize that at times, to win something, you need to adjust and maybe sidetrack from your game plan A a bit. Because if you get stuck on one way of playing and you get frustrated that doesn't work and you keep knocking your head on that wall and start to bleed, you might not win that way. And you need to feel, you know, find another way on that day. Then adjusted to had a game management plan on how to win on the day. And I've actually spoken already now with the Matildas that we have a lot of the tools in the tool bag already. That is not me created, it's the players and the previous people that's been working with the team and all the coaches around, from youth national teams to club coaches, to everyone that have created this team where they are today. What we are going to focus on moving forward is how and when to use the tools correctly in order to win the game. And that I'm very passionate about. Unfortunately, I also have to admit, which is tough learnings, but I've also been on the other side. You mentioned the Champions League final, and that No, it's fine. It's fine. You know, now I can speak about it without getting too upset, but I still have some sleepless nights about that final. You know, leading twice in the Champions League final, 2-0 and 3-2, and then lose 4-3. Even as you say, a lot of people have said it was an epic final and one of the best finals from an entertainment standpoint that's ever been played. Being part of that, I appreciate, but being on the losing side of that one, and I'm going to be honest, there were things in that final that I felt I could have prepared the team better for, that I take responsibility for as a coach as well. And I think it's important to do that at times when you learn things, you know. And I've learned so much in that Champions League final that I actually think some of that learning from that final was one of the key reasons that I can contribute the way I did to then go on and win two World Cup medals after that, because I learned so much in that Champions League final.
I think that takes us to the theme of progress. And in some ways, the women's football story, whether globally or here in Australia, it's been that story of progress and the game developing. And now people are starting to come on board because they can see just how much the game has grown in terms of viewership, but also in terms of the product that is on the pitch. How do you think about progress, and how do you help or assist your players to think about progressing their game?
I've had the privilege to be in a game for a long time now, both on the men's and women's side. I think this might be my 22nd year as a coach. My first year on the women's side was in 2012, going into the Olympics in London. So if I look at where the game was when I entered the women's game back in 2012, and I look at where the game is now, there is so many things to be impressed of. Everything from the physical status of the players to the tactical understanding of the players and the coaches to the whole support system and operational aspect of it, as you know, the interest around it. I mean, just look at the viewers, the numbers of viewers in the World Cup in 2019, you know, and the organization of that World Cup and what it takes to bring the game to that level, and all the people that have been behind the scenes growing the game to where it is today, and all the minutes that they've put in, they should be the proudest of all, because the growth of the game has been tremendously. And honestly, I think it keeps progressing. You know, even now as we speak, it's progressing. Yeah. And it will keep progressing. And now I'm coming back to the tactical side of the game and connecting to the progress that you said. But I'm so keen on, I'm always big on this. I don't want to be a trend follower. I want to be a trendsetter. I might not always succeed, but my mindset is already there. I want to be in the forefront. I want to know where's the trends in the game, where is it heading? Like, for example, 2 years ahead of the World Cup in 2019, I posed a question and said, what will the game look like in 2019, 2 years from now? And what will be the KPIs, the key performance indicators that dictate a winning or losing team? And I ask the same question now to 23, which I would love to discuss with everyone out there that have input that can teach me something and be part of that discussion. You know, where is the game trending? Where is it going? And what will it look like in 23? And who will be in the forefront to set those trends? And I would love for us to be that team. The one thing I can say already now when it comes to progressing the game is how much faster it is now. You know, and I'm 100% certain that it's going to keep going that way up until the World Cup in 23. That I can say, you know, with a very strong certainty that it will only be faster and faster and faster. Run faster, play faster, you know, decision making faster. So that itself is definitely going to be one of my focus in coming into Matildas and progress the game from a Matilda perspective is, how fast can we play without losing the control?
And that means that it's about the margins. It's, you know, the small pieces. My team laughs at me that I don't normally watch movies, but one movie I do love is Any Given Sunday. And that Al Pacino speech where he talks about life is about inches and football. He's talking about NFL in that respect, but our football too is about inches. It's about those small pieces. It's about those small details. It's about making sure 2 years before you got those pieces right. What are your priorities in getting right now to help set that foundation and make sure, you know, when those margins happen in a game in 2023 or 2024, the team is ready?
You are spot on here, Anne, in terms of the understanding of the one percenters, meaning the small margins. If you add those up, you know, the marginal gains, that for sure can win you things and have the understanding, because what that means as well is that the players will be focused on all those things, you know, and if you can keep that focus in every inch of the game, so to speak, if reference that speech, I think those adds up as well, whether that's on the defending side of the ball or the attacking side of the ball, whether that's on the individual level or team level. I do think, though, that previously in my coaching career, I was young and ambitious, and I'm still ambitious, but you can easily be over ambitious as a coach, and you want to do everything at the same time. You know, we need to cover this, we need to cover that, we need to prepare the team, I need to do this, I need to do this. And then you just overwhelm the players with these thousands of words and these different drills and these different tactics. And all of a sudden, you know, you realize you shoot over the goal because you didn't reach him, you know, you didn't simplify it. And I think there's a nice Einstein quote out there somewhere where if you can't explain it simple, you don't know it well enough. So I think for me at this point right now, when you ask what are you going to do to prepare them, to begin with, I think it's to simplify my messaging and to simplify the game plan. Look at all the player qualities. How can we get the most out of those qualities? And I might sidetrack of your question now, Anne, but just as speaking of it, I want to be clear. I'm not one of those coaches that come with Tony's playbook and say, if a player fits my playbook, they play. If they don't, they don't play. I've been around the game for so long that I know at the national team level, I need to look at what qualities do I have and how can I make best use out of those qualities to make sure I get the right players in the right positions with the right mindset. So when you say what I'm going to focus on preparing in the short term, it's just that. Finding the right players, making sure they're playing the right position with the right mindset. And once that's in place, then we can start looking into all the details and the margins of the game and just add those. And that's going to be a never-ending journey, right? You can always get better. So
just moving away a little bit from the stuff on the pitch, tournaments can be really intense. Football can be really intense. You know, who was it that once said, football is more than life and death. It's everything. So how do you make those moments of, and how do you find those moments of joy to be able to sometimes lighten that atmosphere and make it a fun environment or an environment that people feel comfortable to be in all the time?
That's connected to my first passion. I'm passionate about people, right? And I think working with people, first and foremost, you need to understand that being in a tournament mode and being that pressure cooker for that long could at times be draining of energy. And can be some energy leaks, and sometimes you have an off day or an on day. What I'm big on is making sure that we learn, both staff and players, in order to peak later on in a tournament, you need to know how to switch off and switch on, but doing so quickly. What I mean by that is if there's a day where you have, you know, maybe a team meeting in the morning, you have a training, you then have a team meeting at night. And these meetings is a lot of information, a lot of preparation. There's some stress there for players to, am I going to be picked to the starting 11 or not? You know, what are we going to train today? There's a lot of focus. You're watching scouting clips of opponents, all these things. There's a lot of information to process. And then might be some media commitment and interview, or you want to say the right things as a player and all these things that can be in a tournament. And when you're weeks in, plenty of weeks in, maybe month into tournament, if you haven't been able to switch off in between those moments, you might not have the energy needed to perform when it's game time in a potential quarterfinal, semifinal, or final. So that, I say, would be important to have that off time, but also be able to then switch on quickly. And that off time can be everything from enjoying a quality meal with teammates to a walk in the nature or watching a movie or listen to the favorite music or sometimes doing a team building activity where we laugh together. And I don't think sometimes when you work in a business that is this serious in terms of the tournament, when it's results on, you potentially could sense that it should be forbidden to have too much fun because it's serious and we need to win. And that's when learning when it's okay to have a laughter and have fun, and when you put on that game face, you know, and again, learning that off and on switch, I think is important in order to be able to perform when needed.
What do you do when you've got that off time? How do you recharge those batteries? How do you stay grounded and build those energy levels up again?
I'm going to be very honest here, Anne. That has been a little bit of a challenge of mine throughout my years. I am a very emotional person. I'm very passionate. So once my brain starts firing, it's very difficult for me to switch off quickly and switch on quickly. So the reason why I brought that up is because I personally have experienced it. And I have made a mistake in the past to be on fire for a little bit too long, and then it, you know, kind of fades out over time. And I know as a coach that I need to be able to give energy when need be the most, and in order to do that, I need to find my oasis of recharging. And there's different ways for me that I've learned throughout the years to do that. It's definitely Mother Earth, meaning nature, is important to me, whether that's going out on the boat in the archipelago here in Stockholm, or whether that's going out on a walk in the woods And I think at the time when I'm in Australia, it most likely will be having that walk on the beach and feeling the water on my feet, and kind of that, you know, there's something that Mother Earth do to me in terms of checking in and recharging. So that's important for me, being outside and nature. I also felt that playing, I'm born and raised to play a lot, not just play the game, but play itself, you know, whether that's playing a board game or playing a racket sport or playing 9 hole of golf, because I very seldom have time to play 18 hole of golf nowadays. But, you know, play is important to me, because that for me, I live in the moment. I laugh a lot, I sweat, I get, you know, exercise. That helps me a lot. Then for sure, I'm a very big family person. So football and family is the two big things for me. So family is definitely recharging as well. And then you referenced a movie here some minutes ago. If I really want to escape a little bit and just be entertained, I love a good movie.
Might have to get you to have a chat to my boss, Carlo, who also loves a good movie, and see if you guys can get some good recommendations going.
Uh-huh. I sure we can. and I sure I want to make me curious that I want to get some advice of movies to watch then.
He'll give you plenty. I normally just sit there and go, yep, okay, yep, maybe. Thank you for your time. We're about to finish off, but I can't leave you with one final question about what are you most excited about with joining the Westfield Matildas family and this next 4 years ahead of you?
Oh, there's so many things. Do I need to choose one?
Okay, we'll take a couple.
Well, the first thing I'm thinking about is just to meet all the people in football on Australia, you know, meet all the passionate people, the players, the staff, the you know, everyone included in the game, and to feel that I can be a part of something much bigger than me, you know, this legacy piece that we talk about, and preparing for a World Cup on home soil, and everyone included is what I'm talking about, you know, the fans, the media, the stakeholders, the federation, the team, like to be able to be part of inspiring a generation and unite a nation, and that feeling, you know, just really, that really, really excites me too. And I feel privileged, honored to been chosen to be a part of that. So that's definitely the first one I think about. Secondly, I know how passionate the federation is about growing the game in Australia, and if they can feel that I can be a part of that as well in the broader scale, I'm happy to be part of that as well. And then I am a person that loves new experiences, and I really want to learn about the country and the culture, which I don't know enough about today. I've started to watch some documentaries and started to talk to people to learn and understand, but I can't wait to go to Australia as well to get educated about the, you know, all the different aspects of the country, because I've heard so many great things. And my sister lived there for a year and a half as well, and said if there's one country she should move to, it's Australia, because she loved it. So I can't wait to explore and experience the country as well. So. And then there's so many other things as well that I'm thinking about, but you know, that we're wrapping up. So that's just two things that I really feel excited about.
We might have to find out from the fans what are the first couple of things you should do when you hit Australian shores.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that.
Tony Gustafsson, welcome to the Matildas family. We're all really excited to have you, and we can't wait to see what happens over the next couple of years. Thank you so much for your time on the Westfield Matildas podcast.
Thank you so much, Anne.
And don't forget, you can get more information and keep up to date on all the latest news and interviews at matildas.com.au. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and also TikTok. Thanks very much for listening this time.